This podcast is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios. Speak and be heard. This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications experts and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs, as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? You better visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com/Boise or call 208-IMPRINT. That is 208-467-7468.
Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Karlfeldt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started. I am so excited to have you here with us today, Ashley. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hello there, Ashley.
Hello. How are y'all doing?
We're doing good.
Doing good.
We're chatting with you all the way from Boise, and you're out in Mississippi.
Yes, Mississippi.
I love the accent.
Thank you. I know everybody thinks I have one, but y'all have one to me. So
you're the one that speaks normal, and we talk kind of funny over here.
That's right.
We'll let you think what you want.
Yeah. Well, my brother lives in New Orleans, so I'm used to all y'all and
very nice. I'm headed there in a couple weeks. So
wonderful. So I know Tanya met you at one of the centers. Tell me a little bit about what was going on.
Well, I had been severely ill for a few years. I got diagnosed with Lyme disease in September of 2012. And at that time, I'll just give you a little history. My dad's a physician, and I started having like joint pain in my ankle, and I'm very athletic, so I played sports, and I just thought, I could soak it in some Epsom salt and it would be fine. And then it moved into my knee, and then it moved into my hip, and I was like, okay, because I was 28 at the time, and I was like, well, getting older, I guess they do, they say it gets hard, so I guess this is it, but I drove for a living, so I just thought maybe, I was just driving too much or something, and I went and got it checked out, and they were, my dad was actually out of town, so I went to a doctor in another city where I was actually living. And he's like, you're too young to be having this kind of pain. I want to test you. He said, have you been bit by a tick? And I just kind of laughed because, I live in Mississippi and, we hunt and fish here. And so I was, I didn't think anything. I was like, yes. And he was like, okay. He's like, I want to run a tick panel on you. And I said, okay, and he said, I'm going to give you this antibiotic and I want you to go ahead and start taking that. And so I did, and I'm a hard stick. So I asked him, I said, can I just go down to my dad's clinic and let them, take my blood and do the test? They said, sure, no problem. So I went down there, and I went ahead and got the prescription filled. And what I know now is when I took the prescription, they thought I was having an allergic reaction to it, but I was actually herxing. And so they thought I was having an allergic reaction, so they took me off that and put me on a second tier. And then my test came back and came back positive. You know, I told Dad, and, you know, he said, well, you're going to feel worse before you get better, but take your medicine. And, you know, around here, there's no such thing as chronic Lyme. And, you know, that was that. So I did. I felt worse, but I did start to feel a little bit better. But I still had joint pain. Did I lose y'all?
No, we're here. Gosh, I want to say so much. So first of all, I'm so glad your doctor said you were too young for that, because when you said you were getting old at 28, I'm glad you weren't sitting next to me, Ashley. I might have had to give you a little nudge there.
Well, I didn't know what was going on, you know.
Well, 28 is not old. If no, it is, I mean, then I'm ancient.
I'll be 38 this year, and you know, I know I'm still young, and I feel young again, which is a beautiful thing.
It absolutely is. So now you got tested for Lyme at your very first doctor's appointment when your joint pain first started. Is that what you're saying? Okay. That's incredible. That's incredible. Yes. Okay.
I was very fortunate for that. And
did your dad know? Cause I heard you say that your dad said you're going to feel worse before you got better. So I'm assuming he is somewhat familiar with Lyme.
You know, you would have thought it, but as the story progresses, you'll see that's not the case.
All right. Well, go on.
So let's see.
I'm curious though. So you said you were allergic to the antibiotic, but you realized it was Herc's reaction. What were
many years later? I did.
Oh, many years later. So what were those reactions for other people that are going through the same thing? What do they look like?
As far as Herxing?
Yeah.
Well, at that point, the way that they were saying that I was having a reaction was, I got real red, you know, I felt warm, but, you know, I was just kind of a little bit rashy, and that's not uncommon, because I'll tell you, I had the rash come up again about a year later. But to be honest, that was the symptom that they saw, and they were just like, okay, you're having a reaction. I literally took one pill.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You had that happening. And
yeah.
And what kind of, when you did the, was it a whole panel they did for, to see if there were any kind of co-infections as well, or was it just like a Western blot test?
I'm guessing the Western blot, it was, you know, it's just Rocky Mountain Lyme, any other kind. There was no co-infections to my knowledge. I didn't get tested for co-infections until I went to a Lyme specialist.
Okay. Okay.
So I literally went there, took these antibiotics, thought that everything, you know, I thought I was fine. I still had the arthritis, you know, in my leg. And I just thought, you know, I was just going to have arthritis. And May of 2013, I bought an old antebellum home, and I was gutting it out and remodeling it. And I did that until October. And when I stopped, when my body was resting, I started having these rashes pop up on all my major joints. And I, you know, my mom had come over, and we were eating some soup, and she thought maybe I was having an allergic reaction, you know, to something in the soup, and I wasn't. But went to a dermatologist, you know, I showed my dad, you know, of course they all say, you know, it's just stress. And so it finally went away. And then I started working on my house again. Well, 6 months later, I stopped, and I started feeling, I kept saying, I feel like I did when I had Lyme, you know, I feel like, because I was just very fatigued, and I couldn't focus on anything. I couldn't concentrate. And then I had gotten like tonsil stones, and so I had to get my tonsils out. Well, apparently when I had that surgery, it fast-forwarded everything, and I guess that's maybe when it's crossed the brain barrier, I started having, you know, some mental health issues. And I worked in the medical field, and I actually did marketing for a mental health hospital, so, you know, I studied and I worked with the patients. I was very familiar, and it was very scary because I didn't know what was going on with me. And it wasn't until one of my nurse practitioner friends says, hey, there's a nurse practitioner that's Lyme literate, I really want you to go see her. And thankfully I did, because when I was talking to her, I mean, I couldn't write out anything. Like, I would go to spell, you know, a common word that I would know, and I would be getting letters mixed up. And I mean, it was just, I was not functioning. And I mean, I was, but just not normally. Right. And so it was I was very thankful that I did sit down with her, and she was like, okay, this is chronic Lyme. And so we did a treatment of antibiotics, and she wanted me to do IV antibiotics, but I needed to be able to work. And so I couldn't do that. So I did 3 different antibiotics, you know, and we rotated them out. And she kept saying, now, she said, you're going to feel worse before you feel better. Some of these symptoms will subside, and then you may have new ones come up, you know. And I said, well, that's fine. 'Cause it was messing with my vision. You know, I started taking these antibiotics, and then it was really crazy of the symptoms. I mean, I could hardly like walk, talk, read, and write. I had to, put post-it notes, you know, on my cabinets, like on my mirror in my bathroom, to remind myself what it took to get ready for the day. 'Cause I couldn't remember, you know, you brush your teeth, you put on lotion, you wash, you know, you do deodorant. Like I couldn't remember anything. And
so even the simple little things, you know, that brushing your teeth, you do every day, even that you had to kind of put in a sequence.
Correct. It was wild. I had post-it notes on my cabinets to, you know, tell me where my cups were. And, you know, like I still to this day don't know what I did with a toothbrush. I found my remote control in the freezer. You know, it was just really crazy things, you know. And like my hands were starting to turn inward. And I remember my whole right side of my body would go into tremors. And that's the side of my body that I had the arthritis on. And so it was a bumpy road for a while. And I did that for 2 years. And my Lyme literate nurse practitioner, she actually was a Lyme patient herself. And back then, that's when her caseload got so big with Lyme patients that she actually came out of remission herself. And so I had to seek other treatment. And so when I did, I did get better. I did not get well. You know, I was probably, I would say 80%, but I still was just, I couldn't concentrate on anything. I was just still so fatigued.
And that was from 2 years of just strictly the antibiotics, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
You know, and some supplements, and, you know, I really honed in on my diet. I think diet is super important. And so I was doing everything that I knew I could do, but I was not well. And then I came down and see Dr. Callahan. He's in Robinsonville, Mississippi, of all places, but people travel from all the southern states over and they'll see him. And, you know, he said, we can either keep going the route that you're going, or that's where he told me about Sierra Integrative Medical Center. And he said, I have a patient that I can't, you know, give you their information, but they have a blog. You know, I would like you for, you know, to go look at this blog and see if it's, you know, something you want to do. And I went and looked at it, and I reached out to her, and me and my mom and my best friend, because during those times, during the antibiotic phases, like my mom had to move in with me for like 6 to 9 months. My best friend ended up moving from Nashville to come live with me so he could drive me around to help me be able to do my job. Like, it was,
wow.
I had some angels with me, but, you know, it was a tough road. So he told me about this. We met with, Kristen, and she was telling her story, and my mom was like, Ashley, this is your story. She's experiencing the same thing, you know. And I was like, well, I gotta go. Well, you know, it's not cheap, you know, to do any kind of holistic or treatment, period, is just not cheap. Right. And so I went to my dad, you know, who's the physician, and I told him what was going on, and I told him I wanted to go do something homeopathic. And, you know, his words were, and I'll won't use his exact words, but he says, if you think going out there and eating bear poop and blueberries is going to make you better, then you're making a mistake. And I said, well, I said, I understand you feel that way, but this is, you know, where I feel led. Cause I was asking him to help me because, you know, I didn't want to have to sell my house. I just worked so hard for and everything, but I did. I sold that and everything I owned. And, I bought my ticket and I flew out there and I was there for 6 weeks. And it wasn't easy by all means, but it was worth it. And the treatment there, it was different.
Yeah, what kind of therapies were there that you did over there?
We did, you do the first, 10 days of detox maybe? I know it's like the first week you do detox and you do blood ozone, you do vitamin C bags, hydrogen peroxide bags, any kind of fluids. You do detox, foot detox. What else was there?
So you did foot detox, so the ionic foot bath.
Yeah, that's it.
We did work on lymphatic systems to keep your lymphatic system draining. We did the most of all, which for those of you listening, I personally met Ashley because we both ended up at the same Lyme clinic together. So I will let you kind of explain what I feel got me over the big hump where I was at when I first went there, and that was what we called our push shot. So if you want to kind of describe, Ashley, what that was like to get our shake and bake, so to say. Because I think that was a big part of what the clinic was all about as far as killing the Lyme.
Definitely.
And so that, of course, was the most brutal part, right?
It was. Yeah, the week of detox was easy street. And then, it's called the shake and bake. And, you know, when you go there first, you're there for 6 weeks. And you could do 20 treatments of this. And so you get the shot injected, and it's a tiny, tiny amount. Like when you're, when they test you, like they drop the needle in and whatever's left on the needle just to see how you react. Like that's how, I mean, it's a small, small dose. And next thing you know, like 20 minutes later, all of a sudden you get, I mean, you're bone chilling cold. You are shaking. Every muscle is, you know, tense. And what I learned to do to get through that is I pulled my knees and I would just focus on my breathing. And you do it, and I mean, you're there for probably 25-30 minutes, and then all of a sudden it'll break, and then you go into the baking and you try to keep a temperature, you know, around 102.5, and it goes a little higher sometimes, but you can take Motrin at any time to stop the reaction. So you want to bake for a while, and then you try to eat something, you go to bed, and you wake up and you do it all over again in the morning. You know, you go to the clinic, you get your bags of fluids and everything, and then you do that 20 times, and it's not easy, but it works. So after we did that, y'all have any questions for that process?
Yeah, so what kind of a thing was it that they were infusing? I mean, what kind of a bag was it? A nutritional substance? Was it a kind of like a vaccine substance, or what? Do you know what the shake aspect was? I mean, the bake is just to kind of cook you well throughout, you know,
right?
Which helps to, it's kind of like a biofilm breaker, and also stimulates the immune system to kill whatever it is that you shake loose off.
Yeah. They really don't tell you what they're giving you. I think it's all, you know, the secret of the recipe. But I do know it's some type of seaweed extract and some other. I'm not real sure. Do you know? Did you hear anything at the clinic?
Well, yeah, they actually would. Because I too, when I first went there, it was a tough decision to decide: do I want to go with, you know, Western medicine and do the antibiotic route, or do I want to go with this homeopathic holistic treatment, which, you know, I wasn't familiar with either route. And so when I went for my consultation there, they did give me paperwork that did describe what was in each of these. And I wish I did have it, but unfortunately, all was lost in the California wildfire that I was involved in. But it definitely was their kind of ancient Chinese secret, like you said. It was something that they would concoct together. And the very next morning, they would talk to each individual patient and find out how long you baked for, how high your temperature went, and for how long. And based on their answers, it would determine if they needed to make the dose a little bit stronger that day or a little bit weaker that day. So it was very, very individualized for each person. And it truly was just kind of the mom of the owner of the clinic creating this batch of well, for your sake, Ashley, and mine too, of a miracle shot for us that helped us get us, you know, where we needed to be. So I don't really think we answered your question, Dr. Carl Felt, but I don't think we really know.
We don't know. We were you're at just, that point.
The pincushion.
You were shaking. You're shaking and baking.
but I will say they did in the first couple of weeks, you know, you do run a bunch of tests. They're trying to figure out why your body's not healing itself, you know. So, you know, they're looking for heavy metals. They're checking, you know, if you have any allergies. They do, you know, they look a lot, you know, your co-infections. And so luckily I know we hit on co-infections a little bit, but I did not have bad co-infections. I had the mycoplasma, but I didn't have Babesia or, you know, Bartonella or anything that I know a lot of people struggle with alongside with Lyme.
Yeah. Did you ever have any metal toxicity or any mold?
I did have metal. And I was high in aluminum, lead, nickel, and pesticides.
And how did they deal with that?
We took a shot. What did they call that shot? And then we sprayed that stuff under our tongue.
It was like EDTA or DMPS or DMSA or?
I don't remember. Like, I can't remember.
Okay, that's okay.
They were individualized shots that we would do
And then,
a couple times a week for whatever metal toxicity that you had. But again, we don't know. It's all a mystery.
It's all a secret.
I still got a drawer full. I could probably go pull it. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Yeah, I'm just curious. I'm curious. So so you were there with them for 6 weeks, right? Is that right? That's correct. Okay. So how did you kind of feel? I mean, obviously you feel miserable when they're spiking fever on you and you're, you know, shivering and having a fever. But did it get worse and worse as it progressed, or did you feel that the reactions were less and less?
Where you're tired, you know, you're putting your body through a lot, and you're killing a lot of stuff. And so honestly, I was exhausted, and, you know, I felt not beat down, but I was tired, you know? And, so you go home, and I remember my friend Kristen that I was talking to, she said, you know, it'll take a few months, but once you get back, it'll be like a, you know, a light switch, and you'll feel so much better. You know, I'm sitting there and I'm just, you know, I'm waiting on my light switch. And then finally it happens. And I was so happy. And that's why I had to go back to the clinic, because I was way too happy. I flew back, you know, to California to visit friends from the clinic. I went to, you know, Arkansas. I mean, I was just going 90 to nothing, because I haven't had my life in years. And here I am, I'm back and I am full force. And the doctor told me, he said, people like you are the hardest to cure, because once you start feeling better, you're out going and blowing again. And I was loving life. And, so 6 months later, August of 2017, I had to go back out to the treatment center for 2 weeks, and you do a detox, and then you do five more treatments. So you do five more pushes, and then I was back. You know, it took me a couple months of rest, and my switch hit again, and you know, I was super careful, and I made it in remission for a year and a half, and then where I was living, the air conditioner unit had leaked and had fell through and caused mold to grow in my walls. And I knew something, you know, I wasn't feeling quite right, and got it checked out. And then it made me so sick, it ended up bringing me out of remission. So I had to go back to the clinic for the third time. And that was 2 years ago, and I've been in remission ever since. So I'm very grateful.
So they, this kind of process that they're doing, it doesn't only just work on the Lyme and co-infections, it works on the mold as well.
Correct.
Okay.
It works on several things. I know that, when we were there, it wasn't just Lyme disease people there. There were other people, you're just such in a zone. I can't even remember what other people were there for.
They also treated cancer patients. They had Parkinson's patients in there. Just kind of an overall health clinic. But I definitely think they really pushed the Lyme aspect of it because they saw so many, you know, great stories out of there. So in a nutshell, Ashley, I would say that your opinion on what got you better was the integrative holistic treatment versus the antibiotic route, correct?
Yes, I would definitely go that route. That's just my story. You know, I know other people have, stories, doing antibiotics, but I still take supplements. I still watch my diet. The butt shot that we get from there.
Uh-huh.
I still do that every once in a while just to try to keep, make sure things are at bay, especially during the pandemic, with the virus going around, I stocked up on them and
right.
Just to be safe.
And the butt shot is, for those that are listening, what exactly is that, Ashley? I do know that, we call it the butt shot because obviously it does get shot into your buttocks. And for about 5 minutes, it feels like you are being stung by a million bees at one time. And it burns like no other. What is it? Is it kind of I don't think it's a detoxer. Is it kind of an immunity booster?
What do you call that? Yeah. I know it's got CoQ10 in it. And I think, again, seaweed extract. And again, I'm not fresh on my paperwork that we received.
I just remember the pain.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You don't forget that.
Right. So to kind of stay in remission, you mentioned your diet. What are the things that you're going to continue to do? Like for myself, I really focus on detoxing. I think detoxing is huge.
I'm doing a liver detox right now.
You are. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the things that you know you need to continue to focus on that is going to be a lifestyle change?
Well, definitely. Okay. So I changed jobs this year too. I'm still in the same line of work. I'm still in petroleum, but stress is such a huge thing. So I've tried to eliminate as much as I can. I mean, it's life, we live it, it's stressful, but
right.
You know, I've tried to limit what I can have control over. And then I do yoga every morning. Diet, that's really it. Diet, stress, exercise. Those are the main things I focus on.
And when you say diet, you mean kind of cutting out a lot of the sugars,
yes.
Refined foods.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll tell you what I do eat. I'll eat a lot of vegetables, fruit. I've been juicing. I've got back juicing a little bit. I mean, I know you lose a little bit of nutrients, so I'm sure, I sure that I take a multivitamin to get anything else. And I, what I don't feel like I'm getting, I try to eat in vegetables and fruit. And then here lately, I've cut out a good bit of meat. I have eaten fish and, you know, shrimp, seafood, that kind of deal. But chicken mainly, you know, I don't eat a lot of red meat. I don't, and that's not because I didn't get the Lone Star tick. It's harder for me to digest. Let's see, I'm trying to think what else.
So just are really tuned into your body and what it needs and what it doesn't like.
Very much so. Dairy, you know, I eliminated a lot of dairy.
Because it definitely, once you kind of at least think you're in remission or you are in remission and you get back out, you know, you get reinfected or the Lyme, you know, comes out of hiding, so to say, it really takes a big toll on you. Can we talk a little bit about the emotional part that it took on you? I remember you saying, you know, not your exact words, but what your father told you when you told him you wanted to go a holistic form of treatment. I'm sure that couldn't have been easy for you, not having the support of one of your parents. You know, him watching you struggle to get well, and then you selling everything you own to go get treatment, and he's not even supporting you. How was it to just kind of navigate your way through your journey emotionally? Did you lose friends? How was that?
Lots and lots of therapy, but seriously. No, it was very difficult, you know, with that being my father, but being down here in the South, and I'll just be real honest, I live a different lifestyle, and he doesn't agree with how I love, and that's just still, sadly, it's still hard around these parts for, I guess, maybe the older generation, but so that's, he was basically telling me it was God's punishment for that choice. And that's on him, but we've 18 years later, I mean, we buried 18 years of crap this past year. So he actually had to have a quadruple bypass. And so he got to understand, and he got COVID. And so he's kind of gotten, he understands now what it means to have something out of his control that you can fix, you know, like, so he apologized, emotionally it was a very tough road. I did have to do a lot of therapy, really, really focus on my mental health, because when you have something come over and you're fine one day and then all of a sudden something takes over your complete body and you have no control, I was scared. I was scared that I was going to be disabled for the rest of my life, not knowing what was happening. It was very scary. I didn't know it, but once I was well, you know, my sister's a nurse practitioner too. She was in nursing school while I was going through all this. And I didn't know it, but apparently they would, when they'd come visit, they would leave crying because they thought that, you know, I was going to commit suicide. And I was like, what? Like, I am like, not nowhere close to that, like, you know, but that's just how miserable I was, and that's how sick I was, and but I never you know, thought that. I didn't understand what was going on with me, but for them to think that, I mean, that just shows me how sick I was, and, you know, what they were looking at. But
wow, yeah, that is well, first of all, I want to say very heartwarming to know that you're sad to hear that your dad had to go through some of his own struggles, but super happy that you guys came back and made amends, and life is good in that department.
Right.
But yeah, so I just want to share a little bit about me. And I know it's on my podcast that I shared, but you brought up committing suicide. That was something that I was very ashamed of for many, many years. Because when I was in the thick of my illness, before I got my Lyme diagnosis, I contemplated suicide. And I didn't want anybody to know that, because that's not who I am. I'm very strong. I'm very independent. I'm very happy-go-lucky. And I've never, ever understood how people could take their own life. Nothing could be that bad. And to know that I was in that place one time, I was so ashamed of it. But now that I'm well and looking back, I think it's really important to share that information with people and people that are listening right now to this podcast that are where you and I used to be, Ashley, when we were, you know, so, so desperate to get better. And, you know, not in your case, but in my case, I wanted to give up. I didn't see any hope in the future. But there is hope there. We can get better. We're living proof of that. So that's why I wanted to kind of bring up the mental health of it, just so people are aware that it does affect you emotionally, and just to be aware of that. And therapy is a good thing and a good solution for it as well.
Yeah, and it's just understanding that when you're going through this, that there are people like you out there that has been through it, that you're not alone. Yeah, you're not going through this journey by yourself. There are other people that have gone through this journey, are going through this journey, and they have made it through. So when it's at the hardest spot, you know, there is hope, like you're saying, Tanya. We reach that spot, and we think that, you know, how this life is just not worth living. You know, being in pain and can't do anything, you can't provide, you can't, you know, if you're a mother of children and you see them suffering, you know, from you not being a mother or whatever it may be, you know, just recognizing that there are other people that have gone through, that have been exactly where you're at, and they are now on the other side, to hold on to that hope. And so I'm glad you did, Tanya.
So am I.
Me too. Me too. I'm sorry that you felt that way. I could imagine, with not knowing what was going on. You know, luckily when I was at that point, I knew what was, you know, going on, and I had to hope for, you know, a cure, or, you know, to get better. Right. And, you know, yeah, it is a lifestyle. Like, I've got, you know, I had to mourn my past life, I should say, just because it's, you know, I used to be so carefree, and now I have to, you know, no, if I'm tired, I rest. If I, you know, I've learned to say no, and I've learned to be okay with where I'm at. And that's taken a lot.
It that is really hard, isn't it? It's a big challenge. I'm not good at saying no. And I'm not good at resting when my body is telling me so. But when you struggle a few times, when you feel really good and then you feel really bad again, you know, I'm a slow learner.
Me too.
But we eventually get it. And I'm I do know your history a little bit with your employer, and I know that it was a very high stress job for you. So I'm super happy you made that change in your life. Because stress is number one in my book, as a huge trigger for bringing out your Lyme again. So that's fantastic.
Also, I think what helped the most is you were saying, you know, just to hear people that they've been there. Like, when I went out to that clinic, you know, I'd been battling. I was just, you know, I was in war, that it felt so good. No, I wasn't well yet, but I went to a clinic, and just to be talking to people. Because it's something that you can't explain unless you go through it. You don't really know. And then when you're sitting in a room full of people that have experienced similar symptoms, and, you know, this, just say, I understand, and you know that they really get it, is huge. I mean, that was just like, okay, I'm not alone. I'm not, you know, I'm not battling this by myself. You know, there are other people, and, you know, and so then you start to become friends, and you say, you know, what are you doing? You know, what can I do? What, you know, how can I get well? And it takes it takes a circle, you know, to keep you going. That's
it
for
absolutely
sure.
Does. And you're right. When you find somebody who truly knows what you're going through, it's like a sense of not really a sense of relief. It just is maybe validation that what you're feeling is true because somebody else finally feels what you're feeling. But you're right. You know, I kind of call, you know, you and I, we Facebook, but you're my Sierra sister and always will be, you know, we grow that bond together. And that's why I asked you to join us today to share your story, to spread awareness and give hope to those. And for those that are out there listening to us right now, go on Facebook, search for Lyme support groups in your area. You would be amazed at the programs that are out there that you may not be aware of. Or if you have just random symptoms and you don't know what's going on, find somebody that has Lyme, join a support group. Maybe it is Lyme that you're dealing with. And I'm, again, so thankful that Dr. Carl Felt has laid down this platform for us to be able to share people's journey, to give hope to those that are battling this, because it is a horrible disease. It is a debilitating disease, and it's so emotionally draining. And it, like you said, Ashley, we have a new, you know, we kind of mourn our old life. Our life will forever be different. And we just have to figure out how to be happy in our new life. So I'm glad you are.
Thank you. Me too. It's been a journey, but I can finally breathe and know that everything's going to be okay.
And I'm curious, what did your dad say about the berries and the bear poop that helped you?
We do not talk about it.
Better left unsaid.
Oh, that's funny.
That's great.
Go ahead.
So if there is just one thing that you could say to somebody out there listening today, just one piece of advice that you could give to somebody out there that's struggling with their journey right now, what would it be? Is there something you could share?
Don't give up. Do not give up.
Few words, but very strong words.
Yes. Each of our stories are different, and, you know, we're all made up differently. So it may not take, you know, this treatment to do this person, you know, this treatment, you know, as well for this person. You know, we're all not the same, but don't quit trying, because I've tried many different things, many different supplements. I read everything I could. I try to do everything. So just don't give up and know that you'll get there. You'll get there. You just gotta put in the work.
Those are great words. Great words of advice.
Yeah, yeah. It's like Winston Churchill during World War II. Yeah, never, never, never give up.
That's right.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, it was such a pleasure to have you on the show today, Ashley. And thank you so much for sharing your extremely powerful journey. And I'm so glad that you are where you're at, where you now have a life that you can enjoy. And even though it may not be the carefree life, it is a life that you can fully live.
Very much so. Great. Thank you all for having me. I'm very thankful that I get to share my experience. And even though it's not a fun one, it's still, I hope I can help somebody out there.
I without a doubt know that you will. Thank you again so much for joining us and taking your time to share your story.
Thank you.
Well, hello, this is Dr. Carl Felt, and I just wanted to, at the end of this show, give a little tidbit in regard to Lyme. I mean, there's a lot of things to consider. You're hearing all these guests that have kind of figured it out on their own in some ways and worked with practitioners in other ways. And one component that's really important to understand is the environment that you're in. You want to make sure that you have a clean environment. You want to minimize the amount of chemicals around you. You want to check and see what kind of detergents do you have. What do you clean the counters with? What do you put on your skin? What do you brush your teeth with? What's your shampoo? All of these things have an impact on you. What kind of pesticides you have outside? So it is important that you do a kind of inventory of what's going on in your house, because all these chemicals, all of them will then impact your detox pathways or your ability to deal with these different pathogens. You know, the Lyme, the parasites. Lyme doesn't come by itself, like you've heard from many people, and one of my tidbits earlier. It comes with a whole soup of different pathogens, and it's not only bacteria. You have viruses, you have mold, you have parasites, you have fungus. They all come together. And it's not usually the issue of the pathogen by itself. It is the toxins that they produce. You know, I usually tell my patients the pathogen they eat and they poop. And it is the poop that makes you sick. You know, it is their metabolic waste that triggers inflammatory reactions, that confuses the nervous system, has an inflammatory effect on the brain. And so in order to be able to deal with that metabolic waste, you need to have a strong ability to detoxify, and your detox pathways need to be functioning optimally. So the key is then to obviously not introduce a bunch of other junk that will clog them up, so that you have less of an ability to deal with all the pathogenic waste that is that's being accumulated because of all the pathogens inside. So that's why it becomes so important to make sure that you clean up your environment and really look around to make sure you have more natural, you know, natural ingredients. You use essential oils and hydrogen peroxide and baking soda and vinegar. Yeah, use those type of things for cleaning rather than a lot of these other chemicals. So, go through, do an inventory. The information in this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review, and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com, and an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeld.